The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
It's 3 o'clock on the dot, you know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanta and the King, yeah. Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. But we got Chuck and Chernoff on the fan.
Not even sure what that was, but I liked it. It's Chuck and Chernoff as we crank up our 3 o'clock hour. Happy Monday. We're with you till the crew takes over for not only just the Ford leadoff show, but 680 game day, and then Braves Astros tonight at 8:10 here on The Fan.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck.
Can I mention something completely out of left field?
I guess I won't even set you up. Go ahead.
I am allergic to shellfish.
Okay.
Lobster Oscar. Hey. Did that sneeze go out over the air?
Yes, it did.
Oh, man, I dislodged some stuff.
Well, it's the pollen. It's pretty rough. Here's now where I'll tell you this hour of the show is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. Now, put this number in the back of your minds. You guys ready? 895 days. Chuck, write that number down.
895, I wrote it down.
It's been 895 days since the Braves have done this. We'll cover that in a moment. But first, let's cover some old business as the Braves got I thought for April, kind of a pretty big win, right? There are not many big wins in April. What you did is avoid an embarrassing, frustrating series loss in Miami against right now what is the worst team in baseball. Braves win 9-7. They win 2-3 in South Florida, and they were not an out away. They were a pitch away from losing the game and losing the series, and then they were rescued by the Big Bear, who 1 year ago in April was, and this isn't debatable, the worst hitter in all of Major League Baseball. Today, he might be the hottest hitter in all of baseball, and give him credit. He hit an 0-2 pitch that was a really good pitch.
Oh, it was down and in, and he just ripped it, man.
If you asked Tanner Scott who threw the pitch, Chuck, you feel bad about the pitch? He'd go, no, I made a good pitch.
Hit a spot. Hit a spot that wasn't a strike.
When you're this hot, 0-2 throwing that pitch, and Marcell still turned on it.
I ran that back. I was like, 10-second back, watched it. 10-second back, watched it. And I mean, lefty coming from the first baseline, and out it went. It was impressive.
All I kept thinking as we're watching the end of the game is, just get to Marcell. Because he is so hot. You're like, just give him a shot. And for some reason, Scott pitched Matt Olson really, like, I don't know. I thought a little bit too over-concerned about Olson against the lefty, and he walked him on four pitches. to set up two on for Marcel. So Ozuna leaves the yard. He went 3 for 5 yesterday. He could have hit 3 home runs. Those other 2 balls could have easily gotten
out.
Absolutely
true.
So he finished with a double, 4 RBI. If he doesn't win player of the month, and that's odd to say something like that on April 15th, something's horribly wrong. He's hitting 373 with 7 home runs and 21 RBI. This is the portion of the program where I tell you, I'm going to be right. I said he wasn't going to hit 40 home runs, have 100 RBIs. He might hit 50 and have 120 RBIs. I actually thought he'd regress in a major way. So far, it's the complete opposite.
What did you say his batting average is, just a traditional number?
He's hitting 373.
373, okay.
His OPS is 1.192.
At the end of April last year, his OPS was 397.
Yeah, he was horrible.
Not batting average, not on base.
I kept screaming, why are you playing him? Like, you're giving this guy at bats, it makes no sense.
Hitting 085, and that is not where he is now.
He is on pace for 81 home runs and 243 RBIs.
Well, he would hit the escalator, and they'd probably pick up the option, Matt, I think.
I think they might pick the option. If he hits 81, now maybe he slows down and hits 75. Now, we know this about Marcel, all kidding aside. He will go through a spell for 3 weeks where he'll look like he can't hit at all. That's just who Marcel is. He is one of the hottest and coldest, but right now he is turning on everything.
He may take a pay cut next year.
What's the option number? Is it $16 million?
He's 18 this year. He's 16 if they pick it up.
It's pretty funny. And remember, a lot of us were like, just eat the money and get rid of him. I was screaming that for
the
longest time.
They tried to get Patrick Corbin straight up.
So that one.
And the Nats said no.
But there was also a trade to the Marlins they offered. And I can't even remember for the piece. They offered him just straight up, and the Marlins were like, no, we don't want the contract.
Oh, that swing, man. He is so powerful.
I want to play you what it sounded like on TV and radio, because the calls were tremendous. For an April baseball game, you don't get many of these kind of moments where you have the hottest guy up in that situation. You're like, he came through.
Yep.
Here's Brandon Gaudens on Bally, just to give you a perspective on the TV side.
Runners go. Ozuna hits it in the air to left center. Chisholm back. It's gone! The Big Bear with a big fly! The Braves down to their final strike. And Ozuna, who owns Miami, strikes again.
Great call, Brandon Gaudens. But this is like the fashion show at before a big award ceremony. Who wore it better? Listen to Ben Ingram's. And I think, and I'm just, maybe I'm a little biased because he's on our airwaves. As great as Brandon's was, I think Ben's was better.
0-2 for Ozuna. Scott set right at the belly. Runners go, 0-2, swung on and a fly ball, deep left field, carrying back, Chisholm to the wall, and it's gone! It's a home run! He did it again! And he sucks the air right out of this Miami crowd, and the Braves fans are going crazy down the first baseline. He is the mayor of Miami.
That's the line at the end. He stuck the landing perfectly.
I want to say also, there is a slight difference, or it's a huge difference, or maybe it's all the difference in the world. Ben kind of works for the Braves. Brandon doesn't. Like, if you're on TV, you kind of work for the network or the cable channel or the whatever. Now, you do Braves games for them, but Ben works for the Braves. He's supposed to sound like the hometown announcer on the radio. On TV, you're supposed to sound like you're announcing the game, sort of.
I got news for you. Brandon works for the Braves.
I know.
I get it. Like, they're both, they were good calls. Ben just has this way. And I know Ben sounds like he's 80. He's not. Ben is a young announcer. But you heard at the beginning of the call, he couldn't tell the ball was getting out right
away.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right? And then it's building, and it's back to the wall. And then when it gets out, it's he did it again. And then to stick the landing with the mayor of Miami, that's awesome. That's so good. And again, Gaudens was fine. Brandon's was really good. Ben's just...
I mean, when you get into the regional networks, this business. And it's just a little difference. A slight difference.
All right, so a couple of things from the weekend. It was nice to see Max Fried look like Max Fried. He went 6 1/3 on Friday night, 4 hits, 1 earned, a walk, and 4 Ks. That's kind of what we're used to after the 2 clunkers he put up in the first start. Off the field, we got the news we were expecting. I told you guys the next time we heard from the Braves, I thought it was going to be to tell us he had the surgery, and that's what it was. He underwent surgery Friday to repair the UCL in his right elbow, but he had the internal brace surgery instead of Tommy John, which just is a matter of getting him back a little bit quicker into the 2025 season. You still have the issue of now filling all these starts, and tonight Darius Vines will be in the spot that was Spencer Strider's. He'll get his first start. He has not pitched in 11 days, so not only did he come up not knowing if he'd pitch out of the pen, but then if he didn't pitch out of the pen, would he stay up and make the start? So he will tonight at 8:10. Vines tonight, Raylo, Ronaldo Lopez tomorrow, and then Max Fried will go on Wednesday afternoon. And speaking of out of left field, the Braves signed Yuli Gurriel to a minor league deal. Gurriel will be 40 years old in June. He's going to be assigned to AAA Gwinnett. Now, what was the number I gave you, 895?
Yes.
Do you know what that number of days is?
No, I don't know.
That was the last time they were in Houston on this field when Gurriel grounded out to end the World Series, and the Braves celebrated on that weird-looking stadium field their world championship November 2nd, 2021. This will be the first time they're back in Houston since.
I don't know what the idea is or if he can still swing the bat or whatever, but he had a lot of versatility. He played first and third. He played in the middle infield a little bit for Houston back in the day, but that was when he was young, like 35.
I was just watching some clips. Everybody's now posting some stuff. The Soler home run. Somebody has a shot, and our buddy Barrett Salee tweeted. Somebody has a shot from, I don't know, 20 rows up behind home plate. And my favorite part, because I've watched the video so many times at so many angles, is to watch the Houston fans, towel waving, nuts, and then the ball goes up in the air, and it's not, forget waiting to see if it lands. It was hit so damn hard and so damn far and so high. Everybody in the crowd, the noise drops, and people start walking up the aisles like they're going to get food. But he hadn't even rounded the bases yet.
I've said, if you haven't been to a game in that building, it's hard for TV to kind of show how far he hit that baseball. If you don't know the story, you can go Google this. The Soler home run, there were these two brothers that were Astros fans outside the stadium at their apartment watching the game, and they heard something thump, and they looked out, and it was the ball in the parking lot outside their apartment.
Are you sure? I was in Woodstock, and I thought I saw the ball. I mean, he killed the thing.
And so then one of them, like, crawled under a chain-link fence and got the ball. So.
Love it. So their first time back tonight since. You think Houston will do something before the game, maybe a little video for us or something? Hey, welcome back.
They're not having a great season. All right. Took it out on the Rangers.
We'll get back to the Braves coming up. Tom Glavine's about 20 minutes away. The Hawks lost their season finale yesterday, 157-115. They gave up 49 points in the first quarter, which is hard to do.
Oh!
You got to work to give up 49. I'll spare you all other details of the game, but I will tell you, Trae Young had 12 assists, which now makes him the number one all-time assist holder in Hawks franchise history. He passes Doc Rivers, who had held the record since 1990. Trae is just 25 years old in his sixth season, and he passes Doc for the all-time record. The Hawks finish 10th in the East, meaning before the Vakakta play-in, I mean, their season would have been done ages ago. Instead, they'll go to Chicago Wednesday night to play the Bulls. It's a 9:30 p.m. tip, which is just hilarious. The winner of the Hawks-Bulls will play the loser of Philly-Miami for the right to get their brains beaten in by Boston. But, Chuck, I've got good news for you.
Well,
and
it's sports. You have to play the games.
I mean, you do. I've got right. Good news for you and Hawks fans.
Oh, is that?
If you can't make it to Chicago to enjoy this epic 9-10 matchup in person, how do you like the idea of schlepping downtown Atlanta? The Hawks announced last night they are hosting a live in-State Farm Arena play-in watch party, and it will only cost you $5 a person. I thought it was a joke when they sent that email out.
Like the Jocks and Jills out in the food court?
No, the 36-46 Hawks and their marketing team was like, let's host a play-in Wednesday night, 9:30 watch party at an empty arena, and we'll charge our customers $5 to get in.
Aren't those normally free?
I would think, because nothing's happening in the arena. You're watching it on a big screen.
Like when Butler plays for the title and they open up the gym, something like that. But just $5?
This has to be a joke. This is one of the worst marketing ideas I've ever heard of, and I've come up with some bad ones myself. I know you'd try different things. There's a chance they have 50 people in the arena, and I say that knowing Hawks fans are loyal. They never get repaid. They've never been repaid by that franchise, but they're loyal. This tests your loyalty in a way that is extreme.
Yeah, they would show up for the game, but not to watch the game.
I wouldn't think.
I don't think, yeah.
I don't know. It just seems funny. I just could not get over that they're doing a watch party. And then, like, if you really want to get deep into the weeds, the Hawks had until yesterday, I think it was noon, to guarantee the contract of Vit Krejci, who's
Vit
all the same.
Krejci.
Close enough, Joe.
Excuse me for butchering
that's
that.
That's okay. He's become sort of a key part of the bench.
It's all right.
But they didn't do it, which means he's ineligible to play in the postseason. He's still a restricted free agent. They can match anybody's deal. But all they had to do was, let's say, you know, cut a Trent Forrest, for instance, and they would have had Vit in the play-in game. They were like, nah, not worth it. That's an unserious franchise in a lot of ways. And I don't want to make too much. I don't want to get lost in the weeds.
Well, he was starting and playing and had some big moments.
He was good. He made some major growth. He's not going to be there for the postseason by choice.
That doesn't make sense.
It's odd. Yeah. A couple of quick things on the spring games over the weekend. So Georgia finished in a 20-20 tie, so everybody wins. Red team, black team. Carson Beck finished 25 of 46 for 301 yards, a couple of touchdowns. He had a couple of picks, but I did not see this. I heard there were some pretty magical defensive moments, a tipped ball and a diving interception. Yeah.
Who's the kid? Humphreys, the second best recruit in the history of the Georgia program, I think.
He had one of the picks.
Maybe. I don't. They got a lot of studs back there.
So Dom Lovett had 7 catches for 104 yards. And as it was written, catches in traffic or in coverage. Ra-Ra Thomas had 4 for 58, including a 39-yarder. And I guess the talk of G-Day, I knew this was going to happen, was Colby Young. Colby Young looks like an NFL player gets off the bus, and you're like, I've never seen a guy who's that big and that strong. He has sort of like Megatron size to him, so everybody was applying the Megatron tag. He had a 2-yard TD catch where he went up and showed off his jump ball skills. Colby Young's going to be one everybody falls in love with very quickly. And then Trevor Etienne, the Florida transfer, he had 4 carries, 24 yards.
Can the spring game count as a suspension?
That's a funny. Yeah, like, the second half, they suspended him.
We said next suspended for a game.
So he's back for Clemson, which Georgia will play in 139 days at Mercedes-Benz against Clemson. Georgia Tech, on the other hand, they got the Swarm beat Team Reckham 27-24 on Saturday. They reported 12,000 people at Bobby Dodd, which is okay.
You know, big deal. It wasn't on Friday night.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing what rich, in-shape people do now. You want to be rich and in shape? Do what they do. Well, you're doing it now.
The Tech pass game, my understanding, was cranked up. Chris Elko caught 4 balls for 136 yards, caught a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. Jamal Haynes, the running back, had 44 yards, 6 carries. And Tech made a 62-yard field goal. Pretty good. A little 62-yarder to show off some leg right there. So Georgia Tech will play in 132 days. Next time we see them will be in Dublin, Ireland, against Florida State. You know there's all kinds of controversy on the station who's going to the game. Locker room wanted to go.
Why would the locker room? Never mind.
Because they asked. Then Domino and Cellini had Brent Key on. Brent's like, you guys are the ones I want. Because Nick and Chris sort of begged.
Let me ask you, is there a trip to Ireland up for grabs?
I don't know any of that.
Because that's what I'm saying. Like, who says anybody's going?
I imagine there's probably a couple of spots on the team charter.
Not bother me.
Right.
Assume that if they want a show there,
Well, you'd want the primetime show.
Nah.
I think you would want the big dogs. Yeah. Or in this case,
here
the big jackets.
Talking sports on the radio.
Or Finn talking sports on the radio in the morning. So that's what we have to look forward to. And congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. Or should I say to his unborn child, who just added $3.6 million to his trust fund. Dad'll get home. You'll be born. Here's a check, kiddo. 2 green jackets in 3 years.
Yep, his second, and there were challengers, and he went ding, 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 and apparently is about the best guy on the tour, and so good for him.
Have you heard the theory floated that Meredith, his wife, has actually had the kid, just didn't tell him so he wouldn't drop out of the Masters? He'll get home, and the baby's just waiting on him. Because he said
9-day old.
Scheffler said, I will quit with a lead on Sunday on the 17th if I get word that she's in labor. It's my priority.
If that happens, then next year, champions dinner is like strained carrots and peas and Cheerios.
The internet is theorizing that she's had the kid for days. And then she's going to be on the phone and go, listen, congrats on the green jacket and congrats on your baby. Now get here. You need to change a diaper.
Get ready for Chuckin' Chernoff's Worst Idea.
All right, we'll take your worst idea answers today at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. It is tax day. Not fun. Trying to find all those documents and come up with those deductions and try to hide from the IRS. So we want you to fill in the blank, the 3 certainties in life, death, taxes, and blank. Death, taxes, and blank. For instance, death, taxes, and the Saints will be $50 million over the salary cap every year. Death, taxes, and blank. Adam Duvall will end up playing for the Braves every third year when they pick him back up. And here's one more. Death taxes. The Hawks are in the play-in.
Oh, I was going the other way. Death taxes and the NBA season's over and the Hawks didn't win the title. Like, they're not winning a title. The organization is not winning a title.
Ever or this year?
Ever.
Oh, no.
It's not happening.
God, so 50 years from now?
It's been almost 60. Like, give me an indication down there.
Well, that'd be like the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs, it took them,
Sure, ownership changes. I don't care. I've seen Ted Turner on them. I saw Spirit on them. I saw somebody else on them for a minute, I think. Was it Time Warner?
I don't want to believe this. I can't live this way. I need to think that one day before I meet my maker, I'm going to see a championship from them.
Best player they've had since Dominique. And by the way, they effed that one up too, game 6.
Mm-hmm.
Best player they've had since Dominique.
Right.
And they're further away now the deeper he gets into his career.
Deep.
They're not winning a title ever.
So hurtful. Brian Gephardt, death taxes, and blank.
The Mets Metting. Can always bank on it. You're all the time.
Yeah. Colin Madden, death taxes, and blank.
Taking dumps.
What if we found another way to say it?
Pooping?
I mean, just, you know. It's very
or maybe
mature.
Just like putting more entertainment into it and less literal.
You asked the question.
I did ask the question.
But there were a lot of other options, there maybe. Were. Like South Carolina doesn't win the SEC.
Yeah, that would be really funny for me.
Same difference. You guys will send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed.
You won the East once.
the Hall of Famer Tom Glavine is less
Tommy.
Than 15 minutes away. We'll ask
I apologize,
him,
Tommy.
That's okay. We'll ask him about the return of the Max and the scorching hot Big Bear. Coming up next, though, this is the kind of rationale that has bitten the Falcons in so many drafts of the past.
Did it look like testicles look after they've been bitten by a scorpion?
Different kind of bitten. I'll share that rationale with you next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. You guys are listening to the radio or the 680 The Fan mobile app. I'm Matt Chernoff. That's
hey,
Chuck.
Hey, I'm Chuck. He's Chernoff. We're
Oliver.
Chuck and Chernoff in the afternoons.
Together, we're Chuck and Chernoff. We're with you until 6 tonight, then 680 game day, right before the Ford leadoff show, and then game one. Braves and Astros tonight. Braves make their return to Houston for the first time since they celebrated their world championship in 2021. So we'll see what Darius Vines has in store tonight for the Braves, who come in 9-5 in first place in the NL East. We'll talk to the Hall of Famer Tom Glavine about the Braves weekend coming up here in a moment. The 3 o'clock hour of our show is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. Now, I wanted to read you a quote, Charles, from Terry Fontenot, Falcons GM. And I will preface it by saying, we have 10 days to the draft. Most of this is probably just misdirection. Not going to say much at all, but I'm going to read it anyway because I think there's a little bit of reality in here that I think Falcon fans will want to hear. Fontenot says he knows the Falcons need a pass rusher. He also insists he will not reach at number 8. His quote, we can look back at drafts where someone reached on a pressure player and left some really good players on the board at all other positions, end quote. Stating again, the Falcons are wide open. Again, that's what your GM is supposed to say. But I've said this over and over. See, when we do the best player available thing, that would assume everybody's board looks identical, right? So when the Falcons took Kyle Pitts at number 4 in 2021, their board had Kyle clearly as the best player available. There might have been some other teams who were picking right behind them or a few picks later that thought Penei Sewell was the best player on the board. Falcons didn't. There might have been some players, and finally, I think the Cowboys at 11 thought Micah Parsons was the best player available. Now, I have years now, 3 years to look back and realize, well, Micah Parsons is a lot better than Kyle. He's been healthier. He's been more productive. Penei Sewell is better at his position than Kyle has been at his position. I just think at some point, and I always come back to this, best player needs to intersect with a need. And I don't want to reach for it. But if I have a group, a tier of players somewhere between, and the Falcons pick 8th, that are ranked between 7, 8, 9, 10, I am not going to be so locked to my board that number 7 on my board says it's Roma Dunze. And number 8 or 9 or 10 on my board is Dallas Turner, so I'm not going to take him. It's that kind of attitude, and I think decision-making, that has had the Falcons in the position they've been in for years and years where they've never been able to truly solve the edge rush position or fix the pass rush. Now, they've taken shots. Vic Beasley was a top 10 pick. Years before that, the great Jamal Anderson was a top 10 pick. But you kind of know my point on this. There are certain franchises who build their teams on the most important positions that we all agree with. If it's not quarterback, I'm going to get the guy who hits the quarterback. And if it's not the guy who hits the quarterback, it's the guy who protects the quarterback. The Falcons have been very quick to go a lot of other directions.
They really have. And I mentioned that 2000, was it the 21 draft was Kyle? Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Go back and look, folks. It's not the first rounders. It's the second rounders. It's the third rounders. There's guys in day 3. Guys, plural, in day 3. There is a thought that the 2021 NFL draft, it may be the greatest defensive draft in history, specifically with pass rushers, and the Falcons got 0 of them. Of the guys you look at who have now played 3 seasons and started to put skins on the wall, the greatest number collection potentially, folks are looking at this now, just 3 years in going, damn, Falcons got none of that, and it's one of the pillars, the building blocks, best available player. Like, you can't have enough linemen. I don't care, offense or defense. I don't care. You can't. Like the Detroit Lions, they really think they're on the verge of a Super Bowl, maybe. You know what they're not? They have maybe the best offensive line in football. They're not going to spend a first-round pick on an offensive line this year, even in a position where you always need linemen. They're just not going to do it.
Maybe this philosophy is not what others go by, but I've said it over and over. Let's say Kyle would have been the best pick in the draft. Even Kyle is the best player, and Micah Parsons, I'll use him as the passer. Let's say Micah was just the middle of the pack, the 15th best player, but he's a pass rusher. It's always going to be more important. It's just always going to mean more. It's always going to pay bigger dividends. And in this case, it hadn't worked out that way. Mike has been a stud. Kyle's been okay. He was good as a rookie, injured, and then never the same. I'm not going to read too much into what Terry's saying 10 days before the draft, but I am going to remind you, this has been a Falcon issue for decades and decades, and I hope they're willing to budge a little bit on the best player available if it meets a need, and this is a huge need.
He's a Hall of Famer,
Tom,
an Atlanta legend, and again this season, he's only on one station.
There it is, career strikeout number 1,000.
Struck him out, 7 strikeouts through 5.
And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavine.
It's the Tom Glavine Show, presented by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
The Hall of Famer, Tom Glavine, joins Chuck and Chernoff on Mondays. Kind enough to join us once again on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line as Tommy G joins us right now. Tommy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're excellent. I'm glad I could start with some good Max Fried stuff because the first couple of starts we talked about the struggles Max had. He looked a lot like the Max Fried we had been accustomed to seeing. So I want to ask you whether it's specifically attributed to Max or just in general. Is that adjustments or is that just better execution when you see a turnaround like that?
I would say it's a little bit of both. I think that, certainly for Max, there's too much of a history of good pitching to think that he was going to do that for very long. You know, I think anytime you see a guy have a couple outings like that, you have a little concern about, okay, is he healthy? Is there anything wrong? And if there's nothing wrong, then you know he's going to figure something out. And clearly he looked a lot better last time out, much more in the zone. Stuff was better. So I think that's obviously what we all want to see, and we're going to see more of. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit of probably some adjustments, but also, maybe just a little bit of Max being a little pissed off at himself and just kind of going out there and letting it loose.
I don't know about a left-handed pitcher getting right-handers to keep fishing down and inside. I was watching Saturday, Nick Lodolo, who's a young guy with the Reds. I didn't know anything about him. He's a left-handed starter, and he's a sinker and a change and a fastball, whatever. But he's got a little bit of that funky thing left-handers do on the three-quarter, the angle thing. But he got 10 Ks in one walk in 5 innings, and it was one guy after another, a right-hander going fishing low and inside. How does a lefty do that? What's the pitch combination or the approach?
Well, I think generally speaking, when lefties do that, it's similar style to Max. You know, you got a guy that's got a fastball that, probably runs off of a four seamer that at times probably has a little cut to it, but then he has that hard slider combination to go with it, or some kind of hard breaking ball to go with it. That he's starting in that plane that looks like his fastball, but then obviously gets the break and. Is down and in on the hitter. And I think, going back to Max, that's something that Max does really well when he's on, that fastball-curveball combination that he has because he likes to pitch, with that four-seamer riding in on right-handed hitters, and then you start that four-seamer at the same spot, and now it's a hard breaking ball. That's a hard combination for hitters to try to decipher. And I think anytime you have two pitches that are on the same plane that do something different, you've got something. If you can do three pitches, you've really got something.
The Hall of Famer, Tom Glavine, with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. So talk to me about facing a hitter as hot as Marcell Ozuna, combined with the fact that he's a free swinger, Tommy, and I think maybe you've referenced this in the past, guys like Vlad Guerrero back in the day, sort of the toughest guys to face because forget the book. I mean, they're going to hit something an inch off the ground or 2 feet over their head. Like Marcell hit an 0-2 pitch that was a good pitcher's pitch yesterday. I don't know how you attack that when a guy is seeing the ball like he is.
A lot of times you don't. I think if a situation arises where maybe you can pitch around him, maybe you do it. And we've talked so much about this lineup that when guys are swinging it, As a pitcher, it's hard to pitch around anybody because you got to pick your poison, right? But sometimes you're going to get a guy that's just so hot that you're gonna take your poison somewhere else. And I think Marcel might be one of those guys right now that if a pitcher has an opportunity to try to pitch around him, they might, and then try to deal with everybody else after him. But, you know, to your point, those guys are always, for me, the hardest guys to pitch to because, you know, for most guys, you had a scouting report. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. You know what they'll chase. And you try to exploit all that stuff. When you have guys like Marcel and, to your point, Vlad Guerrero, they'll chase anything, but they might hit it. And that's the problem. You know, so it's not like, you know, you could be throwing a pitch that you think is expanding the zone on him that, you know, you're trying to get a swing and a miss, but he doesn't miss, you know. And that makes it tough because you really don't know how you're going about trying to set that kind of hitter up because there's no rhyme or reason to what they do. They just see ball, hit ball. And when they're on fire, then it makes it really tough. And you know, you almost go through that notion in your mind of, well, maybe if I just throw one down the middle, he won't know what to do with it, you know? But you never can bring yourself to do that. You still try to make quality pitches, and you just hope that when they're hot like that, you hope that, you know, that's going to be the time where they hit a ground ball or pop one up.
So I don't know if you've spent much time watching the A's. It's okay if you haven't. Their closer, Mason Miller, he came in yesterday, threw 13 pitches. 9 of them were fastballs. All of them were 100 miles plus. His elbow ain't going to last. His shoulder's not going to last. None of that's going to last. But it's that big 6'5", over-the-top Verlander fastball. Talk about that approach to a fastball because they say it actually picks up some speed about halfway to home plate, and I don't know how the hell that's possible.
Well, I mean, I think that's to me, that's where I've kind of started to, I don't want to say buy into, but I guess buy into a little bit or understand some of the analytics on spin rate. And I think that's what happens. When you have a guy who throws a fastball that seems to, you know, rise, so to speak, to a hitter, I just think that's a guy with a really good four-seam spin, and the ball is not affected by gravity, so to speak, as much as a hitter thinks, right? I mean, a hitter sees that fastball out of the hand, and they think, okay, factor all this stuff in. By the time it gets to home plate, I'm going to swing down here. But when they swing down here, the fastball stays on that same plane and it just goes above their bat. So I think that's what a hitter sees with a guy like that. That spin rate is just so good that, you know, whatever plane that fastball starts on, it stays there. And I think the hitter is just thinking in their mind that it's got to come down a little bit, but it just doesn't.
Glav, Darius Vines will make the start tonight, his first up in the bigs and his first in 11 days. So he gets called up with the idea that you'll be in the bullpen if needed. And then if you don't pitch out of the pen, you'll start. I always hear about the routine that you guys need. How difficult is it for any pitcher, especially a young guy who hasn't thrown a pitch in a game in 11 days, now has to do it in the bigs against that lineup tonight?
Well, it's not ideal, but I think you'll do whatever you've got to do to get that start in the big leagues, right? I mean, I think you'll kind of be like, well, routine out the window. I'm pitching in the big leagues. So, you know, I'm sure he's obviously going to be excited about it, and that's always the hardest thing, I think, your first time out there is to kind of temper the excitement and keep your emotions under control and just do your thing. So, you know, I'm sure he's done enough throwing to stay sharp and all that stuff. But to your point, it's different when you haven't faced hitters and then, you know, you're going to face a lineup like Houston. So, it's a tall order, but, you know, we've seen so many times now where these pitchers that come up and nobody knows anything about them, if they're throwing strikes, they have a little bit of an advantage because the hitters have to get to know them a little bit and there's no book, no video or any of that stuff. So, you know, hopefully you can get out, get off a good start, get comfortable and give the Braves an opportunity to win the game.
Glav, last thing, Chris Sale is about the like most polar opposite of you, right? I used to hear about Glav that you didn't know if he was winning the game or losing the game, didn't show you any emotion. Well, if Braves fans were watching again Saturday, Chris in the inning where he walked two before the home run.
He got squeezed.
I mean, he's pumping up fist angrily, and he's coming off the mound. Like, the opponent knows he's all fired up, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think your philosophy always was, I don't want to give them any reason to believe they've got me in a situation where I'm sort of off a little bit. So what do you think when you see Sale give his emotion?
You know, I think as long as you're consistent, which Chris is, then, you know, then that is what it is, right? I mean, I think you send, you know, that opposing dugout is definitely going to notice that you're upset. But in his case, where he does it you know, frequently enough, he shows his emotion, then, you know, I don't know that you necessarily jump to the conclusion that we got him. You know, you just know you got him ticked off. But I think that's something that works for him, right? I think he's an emotional guy on the mound, and I think it's the kind of thing that when he gets ticked off, it's the kind of thing that fires him up, and he's going to try to make the adjustments and figure something out. So I think it works for him. But yeah, you're right. It's the polar opposite of me. But you know, I mean, listen, that's the beauty of the game, right? There's so many ways to get it done, so many different approaches that can be successful, and you know, not everybody has to be 6'2" and 250 pounds to be successful. You got all sizes and shapes in that game that find the ways to be successful, and that's what makes it a great game.
Glav, I hope you get a big old fat tax refund. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, have a great week, guys. Take
See
care.
Buddy. There he is, the Hall of Famer.
He may have to auction off a Silver Slugger Award, man.
I don't want him to write a check to the government on this tax day.
Get me a new accountant.
All season, remember when the Braves hit a home run, like the Big Bear hit a home run yesterday, you'll score an instant round-tripper discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only at Tire Discounters. So when the Braves go yard, you guys have a chance to gain. Plus, you're going to get a free alignment and a free oil change with your tire purchase. The more homers they hit, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. Learn more at TireDiscounters.com/Braves. All right, coming up, there is a question that I ask myself and all Falcon fans should ask themselves this week. Who do you trust?
Bitch, who do you love? Bitch, who do you love?
We'll answer the question next.
Sugar! Yes, please! Come and put it down on me. Sugar!
It's pretty clear if Adam Levine needs a little time off. Chuck is there as a backup. Chuck and Chernoff are on the fan. That means FM at 93.7. AM at 680. 680 The Fan's mobile app, which you will need tonight when you're tapping the app for the Braves and the Astros, which will follow our show after the Ford leadoff show in 680 game day. So I was told by management we are down to just a handful of the 680 The Fan green cards. If you're not familiar with our green card, what we do is we put together a package of great golf. Six of the area's best courses for an incredibly low price of $249. Now, why is that such a great price? Well, these courses, plus a $25 Firebaker Brewing Company gift card, make this a value of over $600. And I was told by management, if they're not all sold by the time we're off the air today, I'm not allowed back tomorrow. So I don't want to put pressure.
Ooh, the dilemma.
Yeah, I don't want to put pressure on the audience here.
He's not going to be back.
If we don't have our audience buy these cards between now and 6 o'clock, Matt's fired. So you guys do what you want, but I'm going to tell you again, now is your time. You get to play Cherokee Run, Bear's Best, Heritage Golf Links, Collins Hill, Sequoia National Golf Club, and Wolf Creek Golf Club, plus that $25 Firemaker Brewing Company gift card. $249, Father's Day, birthday, whatever gift you want to give yourself, you can do it. $600 value, $249. Go to 680thefan.com. Get them or I'm fired.
Ooh, naughty numbers.
The man that knows the cap, bonuses and all of that. He's the one that gets you cut. Front office, so don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against a wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Sugar, backup dancers. Front office, low, knows it all.
All brought to you by Entry Point Doors and Windows. You know, you might need to remake your entryway. Well, Entry Point Doors and Windows can do that for you. They've been doing that in Atlanta for over 20 years. Window and Door Magazine's Dealer of the Year. Also, want to add some windows? Got to change out some windows. They handle big projects like that as well. Entry Point Doors and Windows, entrypointatlanta.com. Sign up for the free estimate. Matt, I wanted to bring up just a little bit of the recent history. When you start to get information late in the game leading to the NFL draft, most notably for the Falcons, like, think about this. In the past 20 years, very rarely have we had the perfect prospect. And I'll give you one local. Calvin Johnson couldn't have been any more perfect,
right?
from who he was as a kid. Mm-hmm. Remember the story of him he wasn't going to work out at the combine. Then he decided on a whim, okay, I'll do it. And he goes out and runs 4.35. You know, it's everything added up. And so I wanted to bring up initially, because we're now starting to get some of these rumors about some of the guys in this draft, whether it's attitude or injury being the most important. Think about a guy like in most recent years, like N'Kobe Dean, who we watched for several years here, you know, watched what he did in Athens. He was a very impressive athlete. And then we see him fall down the draft board and he goes out of the first round. And then we go through the second round and the word starts to get around, it's a shoulder. Well, N'Kobe Dean has missed time in the NFL. It hasn't been because of a shoulder. It's been because of feet. So even when the NFL has concerns about guys, they're not always correct.
No, they're not. And I always wonder, because it's been so long in the offseason, well, we still have several more months. These guys haven't played a game since December. In some cases, late December, early January. So if it's the medical thing, that's realistic. But when we start creating some of these other things, I don't know. We hear in the 11th hour that somebody's got an attitude problem. That's what Malik Nabers. Like, Los, where was that months ago that now all of a sudden that's been discovered? It feels like lying season to see if anybody will bite and pass on him.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about why this happens, is that you have, and Deion Sanders is one of the guys who was bringing it up last week, talking about some of his own players. You have people within the NFL draft community that realize, let's say, for instance, you're at number 8. Now, I'm not alleging the Falcons did this, but the only way Malik Nabers gets to you is if other people start saying, yeah, I've heard he has an attitude issue as well. You know, I think that he's a high-maintenance guy. That was what the report was. You know, one of them that was last year was Jalen Carter. But obviously there was a history that went along with that in terms of the car accident that you wondered about his maturity. He was the best player in that draft, number one on my board. He ends up falling all the way down to 10.
And without explanation other than, I mean, 11th hour discovery or invention or, I don't know, agent. Like, where do you think this stuff materializes from?
I think it becomes scouting buzz. I think people start to hear things. The report last year was that the coaching staff wouldn't vouch for him and that he wasn't killing himself Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And so that, but he shows up on Saturday, but, you know, this is how it is. That was what the report that knocked him down the draft board. I'll give you a couple examples of ones that I think are a little bit more legitimate. For instance, Brock Bowers, mm-hmm. The question, you know, you already had him work out along with Amarius Mims. They did a private workout. He wants to show that he's healthy from the high ankle. But the question is there going to be anything lingering, and where do you end up taking him? There's also another player that could potentially, and this is one of those where I don't think he goes very far down, but if he was to move out of the first round, I'd certainly love a Graham Barton. He's going to play guard center in the NFL from Duke. He was their starting left tackle. He has a shoulder that they're concerned about long-term. What's it going to do? That's the sort of player that if he fell to you in the second round, man, I run that card up to the front.
Front office Los is with us. Go back to Brock. Is there really talk about a high ankle sprain, any lingering? Because, like, that doesn't feel like, you know, I know about degenerative knees, or we worry about, you know, players with, you know, arthritic this or something that can be long term. Like, the Brock thing doesn't feel like something I would be overly concerned with health wise.
So I still remember there was a defensive tackle who played at the University of Texas. It was Casey Hampton and Sean Rogers, mm-hmm. Who his name was. They were both first round picks in the NFL. The reason why you ended up having Sean Rogers fall down was because he did have an ankle injury during the season, and you had teams that were told, we think it's going to be arthritic, we think that's going to cause some issues down the line, he'll probably only be able to play for 3 or 4 years. Go take a look. Guy played for like a decade. You know, that's what it ended up turning into.
Right.
There's other players. Jeremiah Trotter, he was not expected for his knees to hold up in the league. He was a great player with the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think a lot of this comes down to when teams see an injury and they recognize, all right, he had to have surgery in the season. You know, he came back and here's where it is, but he didn't work out. And that was really the key there, not working out for the NFL scouting combine and having to wait till later. I think people will ask that question. Is this something going to linger, or is it possibly arthritic, or could it cause something down the line where we can't enjoy this player for as long as we want?
Carlos Medina, you know him as front office Los. He's with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. So at 8 for the Falcons, if we assume they end up staying there, it's one of the weird drafts, Los, due to the quarterbacks that maybe we get 4 in the top 6 or 7, and because the wide receiver class is just so good, like, in a weird way, the Falcons could pick between the number one edge rusher and the number one corner in the draft.
It's going to be out there, and when you look at who they're meeting with, and you can always tell by your 30 visits, that will tell you who that they're targeting and the kind of position. But you're also in a weird scenario too, Matt, because of those quarterbacks, where it's entirely possible that you have perhaps the best left tackle in this draft that gets pushed to you. You know, Joe Alt could suddenly end up being, you know, the apple of your eye. You could have that situation again where you have one of the top wide receivers. It would not surprise me if whoever makes a selection at, let's say, number 5 with the Chargers, and then you suddenly have another quarterback taken at 6, because as it stands right now, the Giants are meeting with everybody. What if you're having to make that discussion of, all right, the top player on my board might either be this wide receiver in Marvin Harrison, might be this left tackle in Alt, or am I having to then say, but my biggest need is pass rush defensive end. That's that argument where at least what we've seen so far in this regime, it's been best player available.
So, and I agree with that if I'm not, like, you know this like I do. They all have sort of like tiers of players, right, Los, that if I have a group, I've got guys from 7 to 10 in this group. I'm not saying drop down and pick your 15th best player because you have the need, but what I am saying is at some point the need and the best player, they do have to intersect because you do, like, the league asks you to have guys to go hit the quarterback, and the Falcons routinely have not had it. I'll just be very frustrated if it's just another one of these scenarios where they ignore it because the board says you have to take a different position.
Well, and I think this is where you have to be very honest when it comes to your front office. It's called window dressing a board, basically. And what happens is you will start making alterations to your board based on need rather than just saying, hey, this tight end from Florida is the best player we have rated right now, but I really need a defensive end, so I'm going to skip the tight end. Now, we'll see what ends up happening with Kyle Pitts down the road and how that plays out. But that's that idea that if you have two players that are close, if you have two players that are they're touching score-wise, then, yeah, you might make the decision based on this player is going to be more impactful based on what I need. But if you're passing on significantly better players, the NFL is not for long for a reason. It takes 2 years, and suddenly you go, wow, I really should have picked the better guy. He's a better player in the NFL, but I went with the guy because I had a need at right guard or outside linebacker.
So theoretically, I agree with you, but remember how we're positioning this. My best player available is based on my scouting, and it's on my intel and my ability to scout these players. I'm not saying Kyle Pitts wasn't the right choice at the spot where the Falcons took him, but the Falcons, among with a bunch of others, didn't scout Penei Sewell the same way or Micah Parsons the same way. And those two players, who I think were more positional need, turned out to be better. So it's best player available sounds easy if everybody's player was the exact same on the board. It's not that way.
Well, and what's hard is that we have not yet, at least in many front offices and people that I've gotten a chance to ask about this, we have not gotten to a point yet where we will assign positional value according to positional value. For instance, I can take a look at a player, and I like him. I like Michael Penix Jr. He's the 30th overall player on my board. But the value of the position, if he ends up being a, let's say, Kirk Cousins type of player, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th best quarterback in the league, that value is now a top five, top 10 pick.
Yep.
And so that's the problem that we have in this, where we are consistently saying a pass rusher has significantly more value than one of the other, you know, a cornerback or, you know, a tight end who's a stud. But how do I assign a value to that and then try and build a team out from there? Because at that point, we're talking about salary cap and influence on the game. I think that's where you start to get into that next level of who's going to be willing to do that moving forward.
The last part of this, that, and we'll pick this up as the final week moves into the draft, Los, is doesn't it seem like the same teams? There are a lot of teams that are big into, I don't know, fun wants, like fun little, you know, Kyle Pitts is fun to have if I have other things squared away. I don't know. There's certain organizations that square the most important stuff away, and we all know what the most important stuff after the quarterback is. That is the guy who can hit the quarterback and the guy who protects the quarterback. And it just doesn't seem like the Falcons have ever had that, like, order of importance in their mind because they've always liked the fun little wants, the wide receiver, the running back, all these other things. It's a frustrating part of sort of the history of the Falcons.
Well, I'm getting out here. You can hear it. That's my Bill Parcells Bible that I just opened up. And there was something that I always remember him talking about. He said, this is a game about big people moving big people.
Yep.
And very simply, that's what it is. But he also made another suggestion, too, when he talked about certain players you draft. He's like, you can have anomalies on your roster. You can have that guy who's a little too short. You can have this guy who's a little too light. But they're good players. He says, the problem is you can't draft too many of them or else you have a team of anomalies, of guys where you have to, man, I got to figure out a way to scheme this guy into being successful rather than him just being a big guy who can be successful on Sundays on a regular basis.
10 days till the draft. Los will be with us on draft night. We'll be live at Harris Cherokee in the Caesars Sportsbook watching it all play out. Los, as always, thank you.
See you, Matt.
All right, coming up, they invented the most profitable app in history, but the same blind spot exists for them as it does for Chuck most Thursdays. We'll explain next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.